Welcome to Las Vegas Weekly's Second Helping Food Podcast. This is Brock here with Genevieve. Our colleague Leslie is taking this month off from contributing to the show. You know, all of us are working on so many different things right now, covering this these important developments that are happening in Las Vegas and things that are happening all over the place. We're all writing about different things that we're not necessarily used to doing. So Leslie is working on that kind of a project right now. But me and Genevieve are here, and we are happy to keep the podcast going and talk about the food experiences that we are still engaging with and sharing. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about this month, is how people have continued to not only eat the food they love and cook the food they love, but kind of share the social experiences of dining together, even though we haven't all been able to be together as much as we would like. It's been pretty tough. I don't know about you, Genevieve. I miss going out to dinner. I'm still not going out to restaurants on a regular basis, but I've realized that the thing I miss the most is going to lunch with you and Leslie and going to dinner with my friends and just talking and sharing food instead of eating or cooking it.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's definitely the social aspect that I miss. I mean, obviously, we're all just fine cooking from home, but it's not quite the same when you're outside, you know, out in the world, hanging out with your friends. Like you, I've only really eaten at once since the restaurants reopened. And it's, you know, it's baby steps is all I can say.
Yeah. Well, you did have, obviously, chefs and restaurants and other businesses are doing all kinds of different things right now to maintain their connections with their customers. And you had a really cool experience that involved dinner with Sparrow and Wolf, if it wasn't at Sparrow and Wolf. How did that go? And how did you find out about that?
Yeah, actually, it was great. So there's out in Fallon, Nevada, which is about 60 miles from Reno, there's a farm or a ranch out there called Frey Ranch. And it's been with the same family for 165 years. The current generation is run by Colby Frey. And he recently, or not recently, but in the last few years, they've been, you know, making bourbon. And this year is the first year that they've released this bourbon that's been, I guess, you know, distilling for 5 years. They were about to launch into the Vegas market in February. And then, of course, the pandemic hit and kind of put that on hold. Well, now that things are opening back up again, they had this really cool event, this media dinner, where we all got on Zoom and everybody got some whiskey, and we each had dinner from Sparrow and Wolf, and we talked to Colby and Ashley, the couple who are currently running Frey Ranch, and we just had a super fun time tasting the whiskey and pairing it with the food from Sparrow and Wolf. Chef Brian Howard also jumped on the call and explained how he made the food. And obviously they use the bourbon for everything in that dinner, like the glaze on the lamb neck, and you know, the dessert had like a bourbon budini. It was really fun and also a little unusual. It was my first Zoom dinner. I can't say that it wasn't a little bit awkward, a little bit, but you know.
Did you have to mute some people? Like, that person's talking too much. Mute.
No, I mean, I think the most awkward thing is because you were with like 15 or 18 people, it's really hard to jump in. Like, you know, there's that weird lag time where it's like, it's hard to jump in. So that, you know, that was a little bit awkward, but I think we're all just kind of navigating our, you know, new reality now. But well, now that people are starting to go out again, maybe the Zoom calls will become, you know, less and less. Who knows?
I mean, that might not be too different from when I go to dinner at Sparrow and Wolf with my friends, because I'm not allowed to talk very much when I go to dinner with all my friends. So it's hard for me to jump in too.
Oh, and by the way, Sparrow and Wolf had their opening night.
That's right.
I think it was, I want to say the second. It was just a few days ago. Mm-hmm. And I also spoke to Chef Brian a few days ago for an article in the weekly that I was working on. And he said that he's completely revamped the menu. So now is a good time to check it out. Looks like they've got a lot of good stuff going on. They also revamped the cocktail menu. And they're always so creative over there. You know, Chef Brian's one of the most brilliant chefs working anywhere today. Not just locally, but I think anywhere. Dinner there is always a treat.
Yeah, it's so cool to see, you know, these really prominent off-strip restaurants opening back up again for full service. You know, that's the kind of place that locals, everybody was so excited about that place from the day that it opened. And you know that there's a lot of local people that just couldn't wait for it to get back open again. And so they could go back in. Another place like that for me that recently reopened is Other Mama, which is out here in my neighborhood on the west side of town. Other Mama's not doing dine-in just yet, but they are doing takeout. And they're also selling, Chef Dan Cromer is selling some of the great fish and seafood and produce and other ingredients that he's always used on his menu. In a sort of a retail, kind of like a little mini fish market. You can go in there and just pick out whatever looks good and take it home. And then he's posting videos on their social media with him and the other chefs there, kind of showing you how to cut the fish for sashimi or how to shuck an oyster or things like that. So they're doing a really cool job of sharing those experiences, even though you can't quite go into Other Mama and sit down and have dinner at the bar like I always used to.
Yeah, I love that chefs now are, I think, you know, obviously as a response to being, you know, shuttered for a few weeks, everybody's really gotten so creative. I know we talked about this a couple of episodes ago about, you know, the cook-along series. Those were super fun. And I hope that a lot of these chefs continue to do that because I think that, you know, I mean, realistically, I think a lot of people are, we're going to go slowly as far as dining in again. So it's really good to have these options and that the chefs are offering them.
Speaking of telling stories, both from the kitchen and using technological tools, the two sharp chefs are doing it all. Lorraine Moss and Louis Victa started producing their brilliant podcast, Two Sharp Chefs and a Microphone, last year, right around the same time we launched Las Vegas Weekly's Second Helping. They are getting together with some of the most creative chefs and restaurant people from all over the Vegas Valley for some fantastic conversations about the industry and the food. And they have a really fresh perspective on everything because they understand all sides. Lorraine worked in TV news for a decade before moving back home to Las Vegas to attend culinary school, and she's worked in top restaurants, including Gallagher's at New York, New York, Bazaar Meat, A by Jose Andres, Border Grill in LA and Vegas, and Joe Stonecrab at the Forum Shops. She met Louis while working at Bazaar Meat at Sahara. And besides being a total pro in the kitchen, Louis is also a photographer, a food stylist, a filmmaker, and a musician. She's the tech side of the equation. They're both so talented, and you can tell from your first listen of their podcast. You should definitely subscribe and check it out every week. It's a ton of fun. I've wanted to meet them and talk about food and podcasting for months now, so it was great to finally get that opportunity, and I'm hoping we can collaborate again in the future. Thanks again for making time to talk with me today and for helping us combine the Second Helping podcast and the Two Sharp Chefs podcast. This is exciting. Woo! I'm a big fan of what you guys do, so this is awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Lorraine, maybe we could start with you. Do you want to kind of explain what was the inspiration for your podcast and how you guys got together in the first place?
Sure. Well, the interesting part, Brock, is that we're actually coming up on the 1-year anniversary of Anthony Bourdain Day, which was put together by one of our bosses, Chef Jose Andres and Eric Ripert. Two amazing Michelin star chefs that we both look up to, and we're good friends with Anthony Bourdain. And so for us, Louis and I go back many years to our Bazaar Meat family. Yay! We love you, Jose Andres. So we go back to those days, and we know that with my TV hosting experience and Louis's technical photography, video experience, and editing experience, that it always made sense to do something together. And because everything happened the way that it did, and obviously not the way any of us wanted to, because Anthony Bourdain was, to us, the food culture ambassador of all time, we thought to pay homage, as Jose Andres and Eric Ripper had asked, we would do this podcast. So that's how it came together, and that's how we know each other.
Louis, how do you think that the show has kind of evolved over the course of the now year that you've been doing it?
Wow. When we first started, we really didn't know what kind of like rapport Lorraine and I would have. We started like really built it up over time. And, you know, we found out that we actually work really well together now. And I think for the most part, just having 52 episodes under our belt, like we're still constantly like perfecting. We're making that 1% better of a change every time we put up an episode. So it's been evolving, and we've never run out of people to talk to.
I'm sure just like me and my years of writing about food and restaurants in Vegas, it's like the deeper that you dig into that scene, mm-hmm. you just find so many amazing people.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
It's really actually, you know, we talk about this all the time. Chefs are, you think that they like to hide in the kitchen, which many of them, of course, do a lot of the time. But it's interesting because chefs are technical people, like Louis. And they're creative people, you know, like Louis and me. And they tell stories the way that I used to for many years with their food. So it's super interesting to us to find that it is quite easy actually to hold really amazing and fun conversations, off the cuff conversations, which is nice as a journalist, that they just say whatever the hell they want. And we love that.
What I love about your show is, I mean, the interviews are so great, and the chefs and food people that you talk to are clearly very comfortable talking to you because you guys come from their world and you have a different kind of rapport than, you know, a journalist or a podcaster who doesn't have that kind of experience. But it's got to be pretty crazy to have a guest on your show who is a chef that you've actually worked with in the past. That's happened a few times, right?
Right. Yeah.
We actually go to them a lot. And we go to our bizarre pool, and, you know, yeah. Being in the restaurant industry, it's very similar to being in the journalism industry. They don't seem like they make sense together. It made sense to Anthony Bourdain. It makes sense to me. It's interesting. It's a very small world, right? And it's a competitive world, both of them. And so it's just kind of cool that, you know, we have this opportunity to speak with them in a way that's like on the same level, if that makes sense. You know, we've been in all their situations that they've been in. And as we go back to the bizarre pool and how small this world is, the food industry world, it's pretty insane that, you know, even though we come from the same place, we're totally interviewing them on completely different topics than, you know, the reason why we know each other. Because, you know, they've moved on to Robuchon, and they've moved on to Giada, and they've moved on to Hakkasan, and somewhere in Los Angeles, and somewhere in New York, and now they own a restaurant. And then they move on to other things just like us as well, you know, like food related, but not necessarily on the line. So we go back to those people so much. And as you know, Brock, it's like everybody's connected in Las Vegas. It's like, it's like a small big town, a big right. small town, you know? Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Do you have, Louis, this is maybe a question for you. Do you have favorite episodes or interview subjects that you guys have done so far? Or is it that old thing of these are like my children and I can't choose a favorite?
Well, yeah. All of them are my children. I like the Gene Marinelli's interview. That was super great. That was super great. Funny ones, the Valencian Gold Boys were like, oh my God, we were crying from yes. laughing from that one. Mm-hmm. Low. Can't remember off the top of my head because there's so many, but
yeah. Yasmin, we always talk about her.
Chef, oh my Yasmin, God.
She's a pastry chef, sous chef at Joe Robuchon. And we go way back, and she has 7 kids.
I mean,
7 freaking kids. And she's a sous chef at like what many would say is the best restaurant in the world, 3 Michelin-starred Joelle Robuchon. It takes over your life, a restaurant like that. But somehow she's like this amazing mother of 7 kids. Louis and I can't even handle our cat and dog.
She must have cloned herself or something. That doesn't make any logical sense.
Yeah, yeah, and you talk to her and she's got so much energy. It's mm-hmm. like, I have no energy from like taking my dogs out and like trying to figure out their plans. And it's like, oh, 7 kids. It's no problem. You have another one, you pop it out and, you know, you just do the same thing over and over. It's like,
Yeah. Another one's Catherine Miller from James Beard.
That was a big day for us.
That was a really good interview. And then, our bosses from Bizarre Meats, Alex Pitts and, David Thomas, they both gave like really good industry insider interviews, really good to pull from.
Yeah, and David Thomas talking about his experiences with Jose Andres, you know, on the front line after, you know, all the tragedy in Puerto Rico and the different places that World Central Kitchen goes, you know, he was literally one of the first people ever to travel with Jose Andres and do this, you know, what to us now looks like, you know,
standard protocol now.
Yeah, like a standard protocol. They're like the American Red Cross. And he was at the very beginning of that. And to us, you know, it was such an amazing opportunity to not only, you know, interview one of our mentors, but also interview someone that's just been literally walking day to day with Jose Andres. Mm-hmm.
You guys do such a great job with your storytelling in your podcast. And we were talking earlier about how as chefs are storytellers too, right? And they do that with their food. This pandemic has definitely changed the way that we tell stories, whether you're doing it from the kitchen or in some form of media. Has it been, I'm sure it's been challenging for you guys to continue doing the podcast during these times, but luckily we have technology like this that we can stay connected. What's it been like for you to not only to continue doing what you're doing professionally, but to just kind of stay connected with people during these times?
Well, Louie is super amazing on the technical side of it. So without her, you know, it would just be me talking, you know, into my cell phone. So she was the one that figured this all out, you know, like Zoom technology. And Lorraine, this is how you, you know, connect a microphone. Because, you know, when we were in person, it was, you know, she was taking care of all this stuff while I was kind of, you know, as you know, Brock, like wrangling, like the interview, you know, asking the pre-questions, trying to figure out where this was going to go, you know, trying to break the ice. And Louie's, you know, sitting there, setting up all the mics and like all the technical stuff and, you know, setting up a camera. And so this was interesting for me to try to do that stuff because I absolutely suck at it. So there was a lot of, you know, back and forth text messaging and just like, oh my God, I can't do this. You know, and Louie's like super calm. So I'm the exact opposite. I'm like crazy. You know, I'm just like a mile a minute, you know?
Right.
Oh, really? I am. I talk really fast and Louie's like super calm and super zen. So, I mean, I think that's what makes a great podcast and it makes a great team. But, you know, when you don't have those things together in the same place, sometimes it can be really frustrating. But, you know, it goes back to what Louie was saying earlier when you talk about like the philosophical side of it. It was so easy to find people that wanted to talk. So we were also a little apprehensive, you know, thinking like, oh, they're in a bad place, you know, or they're struggling to keep the restaurant open or whatever the circumstance was. There were so many different ones, but they still wanted to talk. They knew that they could use this medium to reach out to their, what they consider their family, their customers. And so it was actually quite simple to just make those phone calls to our friends. And then also, you know, people that were friends of friends that wanted to really, you know, chime in on what they were going through. And honestly, you know, we started with those first couple of episodes of what are you going through? Like tragedy. And then kind of moved on to, okay, we need to get back to normal in some kind of way. So let's go back to the food and let's go back to, you know, the other issues and the ones that are, I don't know if it's more positive, but just like thinking of things that made us feel like we were still connected, but in a positive way, as opposed to just like complaining and like telling our troubles.
I totally agree. But on the technical side, I was apprehensive at first, especially when we got our first Zoom recording. And I looked at the file size and I'm like, holy shit. Like, this is kilobytes instead of like the megabytes and gigabytes I'm used to. So the first few weeks, I was like, oh my God, Lorraine, I can't help it. Because like when I listen to us in the car, I'm like, oh, yes, it sounds so good. You know, but now we're stuck to Zoom and we're kind of just like stuck to like what we have for now. So there's been compromises, but it's not going to stop us from releasing the episodes weekly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're always going to be in good shape when we, like you said, get back to the food, because that's the thing that connects us. You know, it doesn't matter if we're writers or chefs or what side of things we're on. Everybody eats.
Yeah.
And now a lot of us love to cook more than we probably used to, because we've been doing it a little bit more. Have you guys been, while you wait for, you know, restaurants to come back around and that part of your career to come back online, have you been cooking at home a lot? Have you been communicating with family, sharing recipes, doing stuff like that? Or maybe has this been a little bit of a break for you in the kitchen?
So when chefs are crazy busy in the restaurant, usually what happens is that your cooking at home takes a backseat. So unfortunately, my husband can tell you that, it sucks, because you think, oh, well, you've got a chef that works at a fine dining restaurant. You must eat like crazy awesome every single night of your life. And, on the weekends, absolutely. Like, I will roll out the red carpet for him. Like, he will have tapas. He will have filet mignon. He will have whatever he wants, you know, Wagyu steak, strip loin, blah, blah, blah. But during the week, when you're working on the line and you're working 50, 60, 70, who knows, more than that, maybe hours, like, that does not happen. It just, it's not possible. Like, Louie and I have been talking about pandemic provisions lately on our podcast, which is like a little joke between us as well, but it's like you reach for like the worst possible thing. It could be like the oiliest, sugary, crappy, salty, whatever, like something that you grew up with, during certain times, you know, to, you know, in some ways it's comfort food, but also because you just don't have the time. And so, what I've noticed, and then what we've noticed together in talking to all these chefs, it's like the first time in so many years that they've gotten back in the kitchen. And, you know, we were just talking to Chef Kai Vu about how, you know, we had that with him. You know, he's the amazing chef of District One and Mordeo. And he, you know, love to travel, and he still loves to travel, but we thought, oh my God, he must be dying, you know, not traveling. He's always in R&D mode, travels all the way around the world. And, you know, we expected him to be so sad about that. And it was the exact opposite. He said that he was willing to step back, build the garden with his daughter, Audrey, that he doesn't get to see very often, because he was always in R&D. He was always at the restaurant. He was always traveling. And he loved that he was able to get on his little Japanese charcoal grill at home. And obviously, you know, you can't be any luckier than that as like a child or a wife of Kai Vu. I mean, they're having like the most amazing, you know,
meat,
Wagyu strip loin, as I said, with like beef tallow, just like corn dripping all over it with like pink peppercorns and all this stuff. But I mean, it's like, you know, in a sense, a little bit of research and development as well, because he was saying that he was going to bring some of those things back into his restaurant. So now more than ever, I feel like a lot of us are cooking at home, and not just the fancy stuff, but also just doing like, you know, the casseroles and all those things that, you know, finding recipes from our families and having that wonderful stuff that we grew up with.
I've turned my kitchen into a lab since the shutdown. It's kind of like my de-stressor, because like I'm usually shooting food or like covering stuff for Eater, doing videos for certain charities around town. And then when I need to de-stress, I cook. So that's what happened to me. Yeah.
Is there some part of cooking or working in the kitchen that is a bigger de-stressor for you, Louie?
Oh, I love like working with open fire. I just love working with my hands. I've got like maybe 5 pizza ovens that I rotate and stuff. So it's actually dealing with flames for me, like keeping that fire. Like, I just stocked up on a year's worth of charcoal too. So my whole thing is like, oh, planning, what am I going to do today? And then like seeing that project through. Sometimes I would like pick up a giant pork leg and see what I can come up with it, you know, smoking it like 16 hours. And that to me is like exciting. Going to the grocery store is exciting. Sourcing food is exciting.
How do you guys think that this pandemic shutdown era is going to impact your podcast and the other aspects of your careers once things are quote unquote back to normal?
What is normal? Yeah, what is normal?
Wow, that's a really loaded question. We've been doing a lot of thought about that, Louie and me, and how things are going to progress. I will say one of the really positive things, even though Zoom was difficult for us in the beginning and figuring out video, we'd always wanted to go into a YouTube show, wanted to do video. And this just really forced our hand because it was the easiest way to record without trying to find a bunch of different apps and doing it on our cell phone and all this stuff. This was like kind of a no-brainer. We would go to Zoom and start this. So it forced us into this mode of thinking about, you know, both of us have backgrounds in TV. Louie has worked at a local news station, like, you know, behind the scenes, like in the production aspect of it. And I used to be a news anchor and a news reporter on TV. So we always thought that it was a possibility. We knew that we were going to do it at some point. We had the potential for it, but this really forced us into the mode. And so now, you know, for me, I'm thinking about, you know, ways that we can use this video, which one of the things was, you know, we have this episode Show and Tell now, which, you know, it's kind of funny on the podcast, but when you actually see it on video, it's super interesting because, you know, these chefs are really, it's hilarious. We ask them for their favorite tool and they're like bringing these things that we, even Louie and I have never seen. Nina Manchev from Forte Tapas brought like, you know, that Thracian clay pot, and Gina Marinelli brought this Corzetti stamp from Italy.
Yeah.
You know, just stamps pasta. So we've had to think of ways to adjust to this medium, but it's been exciting for us. And then on Lily's end of that, you know, she's just a whiz at editing and graphics. And so now she's got this whole new thing where she's just not, you know, doing her social media of graphics, but now she's got to put together like these amazing like chyrons and putting together these amazing chyrons and these graphics and these pictures, these images that, you know, we haven't been able to see that part of Louie yet. And now, awesome. You know, it's given us a chance to do it. Obviously it's a lot more work, but that's kind of what's grown out of this.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. The restaurant's currently closed. We're opening back up this week, but it's only for 2 days. So my hands are still free to do all of this stuff. And I'm just like looking forward to like seeing what the new norm is and like asking people what their experiences are coming out of this pandemic. It's really important for me to find like a tangent where we can actually help and spread the word, just as opposed to just like, okay, talking and putting like useless information out there.
Right. We've talked a lot about adjustment over the last few months, obviously adjustment during the pandemic. And now it's going to be the adjustment of reopening. So that's kind of what we're going to be covering is, people like Gina Marinelli from La Strega, who's going to be, you know, opening her restaurant to dine in, you know, that's going to happen a lot now. Or, you know, the maybe sad end of it would be, you know, the people who aren't going to open their restaurants again. And we will be covering that as well. Either because they can't afford to, they're not getting the support that they need. They've lost too much money at this point, or because there might be a positive reason. Maybe they decided that this time off has been great and they want to move on to other things.
Okay. So Genevieve, we have to do an extra good job of the best things that we ate this month. We don't have Leslie here to say the best five things that she ate like she always likes to do. So what's the best thing that you ate?
The best thing I ate was takeout, actually, from this place called Big Jerk Chicken out in Silverado Ranch. And it's jerk chicken. And if you've never been, it's fantastic. The ribs and the chicken are just fall off the bone. They cook them in a smoker for hours. But as much as I love the meat, the sides are what really make this place for me. I mean, there are probably 8 to 10 different sides that I really are. Every single one of them are great. The mac and cheese is phenomenal. The rice and peas, I could go on and on, plantains. Yeah, everything is so good at this place. Reasonably priced, and they're, you know, they're super, you know, excellent with hygiene and sanitation. So, and I've gone there a couple of times during the shutdown. So that's probably my favorite thing I ate this month.
That just sounds like great comfort food right now. That just sounds
like a perfect
meal. Let me ask you this though, because most places that I get jerk anything, the jerk seasoning isn't quite as hot as I want it to be. Does that place have some decent pep in their seasoning?
Oh yeah, totally. But the best thing though is it comes with like this two sauces on the side. One is not as hot. The other one I can't even touch because it is so hot. So the barbecue sauce it comes with is fantastic or whatever it is. And there's another hot sauce that I just have to warn you, it's pretty hot. I mean, if you want hot, there's definitely that. But everything's just got a little good kick to it. Like the mac and cheese is a good kick to it. It's just, yeah, I highly recommend it.
And that's what I need.
What about you, bro? What did you eat this month?
The best thing I ate was also takeout. I don't know why I waited this long to get it from one of my favorite neighborhood Italian restaurants, La Strega. We've talked about this place quite a bit and the chef Gina Marinelli and the awesome, really fresh flavors that she is creating there. That's another restaurant that just opened up for dine-in in the last week. So I highly recommend that experience if you're going out to restaurants. But I basically ordered like almost everything on the menu one night. I just wanted to try everything I could try. And there was a salad of like endive. Is that how you say that? Endive? Endive? Mm-hmm.
Endive? I think it's endive. Like if you really, want to be fancy about it.
Really crisp, kind of bitter lettuce with awesome prosciutto and... It was just so good. She's so good at like pairing flavors and keeping things simple. And then she did, it's pasta alla norma with tomatoes and eggplant and lots of garlic. And it was so rich. I'm sure there was a bunch of butter in there too, but there's no meat in that dish. And it's just so rich and smooth. And I just couldn't believe how good it was. I've really become impressed with how great takeout can be, which I wrote about for this last issue of Las Vegas Weekly, among other things, is this experience of getting takeout a lot more than I used to has really made me realize that it can really be fantastic. You know, it's not just about getting some Chinese food or getting a pizza or whatever. Local restaurants, have done an amazing job.
I think that they've also innovate a little bit with like takeout packages and things like that, from what I understand, or cooking their food so it cooks, it sort of finishes cooking in a container instead of, you know, getting to you and it's completely like, you know, overdone, or like salad comes underdressed or not dressed at all. And, you know, just there's a lot of little tricks that they've employed to make takeout be really, really good too, right? So that's one good thing about this.
That's a wrap for the June episode of Second Helping. Thanks for joining us. We can't wait to get back together with Leslie next month for a fun summer show. I've already got some ideas about what I want to focus on, and I hope you come back for more as well. You can subscribe to Second Helping on Apple Podcasts or on YouTube at the Las Vegas Weekly YouTube page, and you can find past episodes of our show at lasvegasweekly.com/podcasts. Special thanks to the Frey Ranch Distillery in Fallon, Sparrow and Wolf, Lorraine and Louie at Two Sharp Chefs and a Microphone, and of course, big, big thanks to Sonia Barcelona for lending her song Violent Water to our show. Once again, there's so much news happening in Las Vegas these days, it's hard to keep up on everything, but stick with us at lasvegasweekly.com and lasvegassun.com, and you'll be all right. Thanks again for listening. Come back in July.